Okay, welcome to Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry, Thursday night prayer line, and tonight is going to be very informal. I'm going to be the guest speaker tonight. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and I would like to thank you all for joining me tonight. Tonight's topic is abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. And Christine, can you open us up with prayer, please? You feel up
sure.
to it or no? Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to stand in the gap for my sister, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that you are surrounding us right now, covering us in your blood. I thank you right now, Father God, for the message that is going to be spoken and preached. I thank you right now, Father God, that you are, that you are covering the line. And I thank you right now, Father God, that you will decrease, that she will decrease as you will increase, God. And I ask you right now, Father God, that whoever comes on the line, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that they receive deliverance or feel get a word of encouragement. Father God, I just ask you to have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. And I just thank you for every individual on this line. And we call it done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer. And we're going to get right into the Word of God. I'm going to read Galatians, the 5th chapter, 18th through the 21st verses. And it says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So when it comes to Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 18th, the verses that I just read, no matter what work of the flesh that you are or have been dealing with, unless you acknowledge your own sin, confess to God, and repent, turning away from this act completely, 360 degrees, you can't say that you are delivered yet until you, with God's help, pull the works of the flesh out at the root, because allowing it to remain will only provide an opportunity for you to fall short of the glory of God somewhere down the road. Confessing, repenting, and turning away are essential to the deliverance process, but you must also identify the source, the root of your struggle. So I just want to read a little, like the excerpt that I had put on the page that wasn't associated with the announcement. So for those that are on the line, when you heard the topic, abstinence doesn't mean deliverance, what was the first thing that came to your mind? Anybody?
Stacey, this is Christine again. For me, what came to mind was a variety of things. And I can only speak for myself, you know. When we talk about abstinence, it can, you know, it's, you have to come outside the box, because it could be sex, it could be drugs, it could be anything you used to struggle with that became a problem. So that's what.
Right.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, because most of the time when we hear abstinence, most people associate it with sex. But it is so much more than sex. Abstinence is defined as the fact or practice of restraining oneself from indulging in something, typically alcohol, it could be drugs, sex, gambling, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, gluttony, laziness. You see, I can go on and on, but I'm going to stop here because I want to give room for God to have his way tonight on this call. And although I'm going to highlight sex, we're going to be talking about different things that we actually abstain from. And a lot of times, just because you stop doing something, it doesn't mean that you've been delivered from it. It just means that you stop doing it. And one of the things that is standing out to me is 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Excuse me. When David was fighting Goliath, he ran over to Goliath. I mean, once he took the slingshot and he shot Goliath in the head and Goliath fell down and he killed him, he won the victory. But deliverance came when he ran over to Goliath and he took Goliath's sword out of his own sheath and he cut Goliath's head off. So that's when deliverance was won, because David, a small boy, cut off the head of a huge giant. And in the natural, how in the world can that happen? And that's a good example that, you know, is anything too hard for God? And no, it's not. So if you would go with me to 1 Samuel 17, I'm just going to read that real quick. Let me know when you're there. Yeah. So beginning at verse 45, 1 Samuel 17, in the 45th verse. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. That stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a slingshot, with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. That means he killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines, until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shalom, even unto Gath, unto Ekron." So here in this story, God gave David the victory. But, you know, we have been dealing with spiritual warfare with Monday, the book club, and even with Wednesday for noonday prayer. So in this text, David used his slingshot, and he used a stone, and he killed Goliath. He ran over, cut off his head, deliverance. Tonight, I want to share abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. And the goal is to help, you know, help us, we uproot those roots and cut off everything that's not like God, cut off all of those things that has us connected to the past, all of those things that keep us bound and is preventing us from moving forward. So going to the word, example number one I'm going to use from where I left off with Galatians. When gardening, you can cut down the weeds that grow in your garden, but unless you pull them up at the root, the seeds of the weed are still laying there dormant until the rain begins to water it. and the sunshine begins to shine, and the weeds begin to show its ugly head. In comparison, if you are celibate, no longer having sex, whether it was fornication or adultery, have you allowed God to pull that sin out at the root? Abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. So, and this is going to be kind of interactive, you know, and I'm going to stop and ask questions, and if you guys have any questions, feel free. So example number two, you go out on a date with an old boyfriend or girlfriend and someone that you used to be intimate with, a familiar spirit. This person knows you better than you know yourself. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Your friend has not been abstinent, and he has no desire to stop having sex with you. And that's the reason you broke up with him anyway, because God was calling you to holiness. God didn't want you, you know, having sex outside of marriage. So you ended your relationship with this guy, and you cut off all contact with him. You stopped having sex with him, and you prayed, Lord, help me to present my body to you as a living sacrifice. We've all been there, done that. But you don't ask God to help you to pull out all of the sexual things connected to the act of fornication with that person or the act of adultery or the works of the flesh out of your heart at the root. So because we let this stay there, it grows back. And that's, as God was showing me that, that's where I got the title, Abstinence Doesn't Mean Deliverance. And again, as we were saying, it's not always about sex, because an alcoholic, during the, like once an alcoholic go to AA, they could go to the program and they could work the program, but somewhere in that process, they're going to fall short and they're going to have a drink. You see, just because they stop drinking, it doesn't mean that they were delivered from alcohol, because the desire is there to drink alcohol. The craving is there. In so many words, the alcohol is a comfort to them. It's something that makes them feel safe and secure. When they have a drink, it may calm them down. And so when the person stopped drinking, why did they stop drinking? Did they stop drinking because his wife or his children or his parents were saying, you know, you really drink too much, you're not doing anything with your life, you need to get your life together? Now, if he stopped drinking because of other people, then that desire really going to be there. Because, one, anything you find pleasure in, it's hard to stop doing it. So think about a gambler. A gambler, they losing all of the money in the home, rent not getting paid, car notes not getting paid, insurance not getting paid, and he really wants to stop, but he has an addiction. How do he stop gambling? Okay? His wife say, you know what, if you do this one more time, I'm out of here, I'm leaving. So he's scared that she's going to leave, and so he stopped gambling for 2 weeks, but he didn't deal with the root issues. So what I'm trying to get everyone to see is what's going on underneath the surface. Why do we turn to the things that we turn to? You know, whether it's sex, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, you know, whether it's crack cocaine, you know, whether it's anger, whether it's bitterness or unforgiveness. Just because we stop doing something, it doesn't mean that we are free from it. It simply means that we stop doing it. When you understand why you do certain things or why you exhibit certain behaviors, then you can get to the root issue and you can pull it up at the root. So I'm going to go back to the sample two. Ending your relationship with him, you cut off all contact, you stopped having sex, but you pray, Lord, help me to present my body as a living sacrifice. So Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Most people don't know how to do this. So when they give up sexual things, whether they give up the alcohol or the gambling or the pipe or the needle for people that shoot up with heroin, once they stop entertaining the works of the flesh, then it's time to deal with the real problem. What's lying dormant? until it gets watered. So I'm going to use a person that's strung out on crack cocaine as an example. They have this addiction to crack, and they really, let's say they haven't been seeing their children, and they know they can't go visit their children while they're high. So they've been high for like, they've been up, couldn't sleep for 3 days straight, right? And then they get cleaned up and go put on clean clothes and stuff, and then they go visit the kids. And they're clean for that whole time they're there with the kids. But then they get that desire to smoke that crack. But they still clean. It's like, I really don't want to do this. But then one of their friends come along and say, hey, it's okay if you don't have no money. I got you. And then it's like, okay. Well, they come along and they water what was lying there dormant. This person was clean. They didn't smoke the crack. And so this person comes along and he watered the seeds or she watered the seeds, and then they smoke the crack. Then they high again. Then they up for another 3 days. Now it's time to go see the children, and they can't go see the children because they are high, and they don't want to see them that way. Mm-hmm. So any questions so far? Okay. So example number three. So I'm going to get back to all of these examples. Just let me say this one. You run into your ex at the market. Y'all broke up. And it could be your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And they ask you out to dinner. And you know that you shouldn't because you care about him or her. And you still think about them. You still dream about them. And you have unresolved issues where they are concerned. Remember, they know you. I mean, they know you. She knows you. Like Adam and Eve knew each other. They know how to push your buttons. They know how to water your garden. They know how to get what they want because the root is lying dormant. And so right here, we're talking about soul ties. So you stop having sex with him or her, but in your mind, in your mind, the relationship is still going on strong. And you have a video library of all of the times that you was together with this person. And you could pull a tape out at any time that you want to, on the bus, on the train, at your desk, and even at church. Now, how many of you on this line, if we're going to be real, you know, we always talking about taking off the mask and being real. How many times have you been at church focusing, listening to a sermon, and a thought had come to your mind about somebody that you had sex with or somebody you wanted to have sex with, and that's the enemy's subtle attack to distract you and to get you off point. And this stuff is real. It's stuff that we don't like to talk about, but it's real. And we're talking about abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. So when you're trying to worship God, when you're trying to praise God, and your mind is wandering, and all of a sudden you get this thought of boo-boo, or for the guys on the line, you get this thought of Gloria with the big butt, and you are so distracted, you don't even know what the preacher is saying at this point. So where are those thoughts coming from? Is it really coming from the enemy, or is it really coming from you? Because we have our own lustful desires. So everybody that's listening to this sermon right now, this is not about anybody else. It's simply about you and whatever issues going on inside of you, whatever lustful desires you have, whatever addiction you may have, whatever struggle you may have, because everybody doesn't have addiction. But abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. So whatever your struggle is, whatever it is you want to overcome tonight, I just want you to look at what's going on underneath the surface. What are your root issues? Because if we don't pull stuff at the root, it continues to stay there. And then you continue to repeat the same cycles over and over and over. So going back to the story, the consequences of not pulling sins out at the root, eventually somebody or even you can water the seeds of sin that are lying dormant, waiting for the opportunity to sprinkle some miracle growth on your empty flower bed, which is your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit, so that you can actively participate in the works of the flesh. Again, abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. So we're going to go back to the boyfriend that you ran into or the girlfriend that you ran into. So now they invite you to dinner, and after dinner they invite you to their place for a nightcap. And you let them know, hey, I don't drink anymore. And ladies, right now, he's rubbing the back of your neck, and you love it when he rubs the back of your neck. And he rubs your ears a little bit, and he tells you, you know, one glass of wine ain't going to hurt you. But you haven't been drinking, and you've been sober for 6, 7, 8, 9 months now, and you know good and well that if you have that one glass of wine, that it's going to kick you behind. And it may make you lose your mind, causing you to miss the mark, causing you to fall short of the glory of God. You see, the wine fuzzes your brain, and the ability to think clearly and soberly is going in the wind. But at this point, because you never dealt with the root issues, although you broke up with this dude, although you broke up with this girl, you never dealt with the real reasons you was with the person, and you never dealt with the real reason why you broke up with the person. And a lot of times when we don't get proper closure, it's easy for that door to open and you go right back to that same thing. So giving into the lustful desires of your own heart, you accept a glass of wine, which is accepting the spirit of drunkenness, because that's the effect it's going to have on you. When you don't drink for a long time and then you go drink, you feel it a lot faster than you would if you was a regular drinker. I know, because I used to drink. No longer thinking soberly, you give into the fire that is burning deep inside of you at this point. So you're longing for this person. At this point, you actually want to be with this person, and you're not as strong as you were before you had the drink. So a lot of times when you hear me praying, and I will bind that mind-binding spirit or that mind-altering spirit, any kind of drugs or alcohol that fuzzes our mind, that causes us not to be on top as sharp as we should be, we have to really be careful, because it will cause you to display behavior that is not true to your nature. It will cause you to do and display behavior that's not true to your nature. And if you were sober, you would never do it. So feelings and emotions at this point, that wasn't sweet. Because remember, you broke up with them, you're not having sex, you're not drinking, or, you know, if it was an alcoholic, they've been in the program, they're not drinking. And so what happens at this point? The body, you wake up your body, and your flesh is saying, feed me. You give into the desires of your precious ex, and you are responsible for your actions, not him and not her. So at this point, we're looking at accountability. And right now, you're not even thinking straight, so you don't even care about accountability. All you know is you're about to get your thing on, and that's all that matters, because you had that glass of wine, and that root issue was still laying there. You never dealt with, you know, what you needed to deal with. So slowly you find yourself in a situation that you really didn't want to be in. And responding to your flesh, you embrace the spirit of lust and fornication or adultery, whatever the case may be. And for the moment when you caught up, you're not thinking about the guilt or the condemnation or the shame. Now, in the beginning, you may feel the Holy Spirit tugging on you. But after a while, you know, you just give in to that moment. And once it's done and said, afterwards, and when you're naked and you're sober and your mind is no longer fuzzed and you're in your right mind, now you're crying. Condemnation is embarrassing you, wrapping you up in the blanket, laughing at you, ha, 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 ha. And now it's covering you up in shame that is eating away at you. Abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. Where you was just starting to feel good about yourself, here comes the spirit of heaviness, which is the strong man, for the spirit of heaviness and excessive mourning and depression. Heaviness is the strong man for the spirit of sorrow and grief. Nehemiah, the second chapter in the second verse. A broken heart, self-pity, insomnia, despair, dejection, hopelessness, suicidal thoughts, inner hurts, and a torn spirit. How many times have you said you wasn't going to do something, but you end up doing it? And so abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. And earlier I said it doesn't always have to be sex. I said I was going to use sex as an example. But let's look at unforgiveness. Why is it so hard for you to forgive a person? Why is it so hard for you to receive God's forgiveness? What's blocking you from receiving your blessing? Abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. Just because you cut that person off and you're not talking to that person, you don't see that person, it doesn't mean that you have forgiven them. And so I thank God for what he started showing me with this whole thing, because when I first did this lesson, it was about sex. But he started showing me the alcohol. He started showing me the drugs. He started showing me gambling. He started showing me bitterness and resentment. So a lot of times, and I'm going to get back to some of the, let me go back to the spirit of heaviness for a moment. The spirit of heaviness, that's where that spirit of depression and oppression, when we get discouraged. So I'm just going to say, okay, it's a lady, for example, you know, she hadn't been with her dude, and then the scenario I just gave you, she wake up in a right frame of mind, and now she just feels disgusting. She feels so nasty and dirty, and you just want to go take a shower, and you're crying, but you feel like where you felt comfortable with who you was in Christ and your self-esteem, you was growing in the Word, but now that spirit of heaviness has fallen upon you, and it prevents you from moving forward and serving God. And the lies of the enemy come to tell you that God ain't never going to forgive you for what you just did. You know, you've been clean and sober for a long time. You know you shouldn't have had that drink. Or Stacy, you know you shouldn't have smoked that pipe. Your parents sent you away to rehab, you know. Why did you do that? So then that inner hurts and those torn spirit comes in there, because now that war is really going on. Now you thought the war was you talking to dude, you know, him asking you out to dinner, and you thought you were strong enough to see him. You thought you were strong enough to have that glass of wine. And for the brother on the corner that's just walking past minding his business, and one of his boys that drink wine on the corner, he thought he was strong enough to stop by and say hi and keep rolling. But no, he wasn't. They lift up that bottle and say, hey, let's have a drink for old times. Abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. So when he's been sober for 3 months, now he have a drink, he know he stopped him from going where he was going. He just went, he stopped there on his way going to his mother's house. So he never made it to his mother's house, and now they looking for him, and he just messed up. Abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. So before I go back to my notes, how many people on this line want to get married? How many people are already married? Because if you want to get married, whether you're a female or a male, what are your root issues?
Okay.
What are some of the things that you need to pull up at the root? What are some of the things you need to do like David and go get the sword from the giant chief and cut his head off? I love the garden. When I work in my garden, sometimes you got to pull those weeds up, and if you don't get it down at the base and pull that whole root up, and you get it in the middle, it will snap, and the top part of that weed will come off, and I just throw it in a pile, and I throw it in a pile, but then I got to go back, and sometimes I have to get my special tools because the root is so deep and intertwined down in that dirt and soil, and it's intertwining with the roots from my flower bed. And I want to make sure I don't pull up the roots from my flowers. So you got to be real careful. But once you get to the head of that root, and you pull that whole thing up. The first time I did it, and I pulled it up, and I looked in my hand, and I saw all of these roots. They was going in all different directions. They was left, right. Some of them was twirled around. They was twisted around. And God began to speak to me about root issues. And I said, well, God, you know, on top of the surface, all you see is a pretty flower. Or you see that weed that's trying to blend in. And, you know, sometimes those weeds will blend in with the flower. So, you know, we got to be careful. And we got to take better care of our garden. So symbolically, the garden tonight is our hearts. So what's lying dormant in your heart tonight? It may not be sex. It may not be drugs. It may not be alcohol. It may not be gambling. Could it be rejection?
Yeah.
Abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. Could it be isolation and abandonment? Anybody had an abortion? Anybody killed somebody? Anybody talk about somebody? Everything that we do, every decision that we make, there's consequences. Abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. So going back to those that want to get married, as I was preparing for this message tonight, and God started showing me the resentment, the bitterness, and unforgiveness and things like that, if you don't deal with those issues now, and let's say you've been in, I mean, we've all been in good relationships, we've been in bad relationships, but just for the sake of time, let's say that we've all been hurt in relationships. Now, if we haven't dealt with that hurt, the hurts from our past, that root is still lying there, dormant. It is waiting for something to come along and water that seed. So let's say you've been by yourself for a while. You know, you'd say you're taking this time to get to know yourself, to get to love yourself. And so then here comes this nice guy. He loves to talk. He's emotionally available to you. Same for you for the guy. Here comes this nice girl. She's very respectable, and she's emotionally available to you. Y'all have good conversations. She loves the Lord. But because you didn't deal with your root issues from being wounded from the past, your insecurities start to surface. Your lack of trust starts to surface. Abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. Now, where you had all these knuckleheads, God done sent you a good man, a man that loved God, a man after God's own heart, a man that just want to treat you like the queen that you are. He just want to take care of you, take care of the kids, provide a happy home. But now your insecurities are getting the best of you. You falsely accusing him. You're giving him an attitude. And because of your fear of him leaving you, you start acting out of past behavior. You're no longer in that old relationship. You're in a new relationship. But because you didn't deal with the hurt and the pain, you carried it to the next place. And it began to cause problems in your relationship with the new person that really the one that God ordained for you to have. Excuse me. So this man recognizes that you've been wounded. So God is telling him to be patient with you. And the same thing for a guy. A lot of times a guy can have a good woman after having bad women that only want to take advantage of them, always hollering at them. And women do abuse men, you know. And so now we have this man. And he got a good woman. And she go to work. They both go to work. They both making money and stuff. But his buddies come around, and they might compliment her, and he get jealous, and he's falsely accusing her.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope this is making sense and that I'm giving good examples, because abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. And it's not just sex. It's not just adultery. It's not just bitterness and rejection. Whatever issues, we all have experienced trauma, crisis, Some people have been molested. Some people have been raped. Some people have been physically abused. Some people have been verbally and mentally and emotionally abused. And the worst kind of scars are the scars from words. Words hurt. Words change your thought process. Words will steal your identity. Words will cause you to doubt who you are. So how many negative words do we have lying dormant inside of us where people have spoken negative against us? But we didn't capture those words. We didn't reject them. You know, for real, back in the day, we didn't know how to handle it. But some of y'all may have handled it differently. I know for a while, people would say negative stuff to me, and it would bother me. I've been told I would never amount to anything. I've been told so much negative stuff. And for a short while, I did believe it because I began to doubt who I was in Christ. But when God began to heal my heart, that's when I began to come out of agreement with the lies of the enemy. And Stacy started pulling these weeds up at the root. And I started dealing with the root of unforgiveness, the root of bitterness. And I had to pull up that root of adultery. And I had to pull up that root called fornication. And I had to pull up that root of alcohol. You know, I smoke weed here and there. I never did no drugs. But the point I'm making is I'm going to use me as an example, because until I was ready to deal with healthy confrontation, I continued the same sorry behind cycle, same merry-go-round. Broken relationships, attracting the same type of man, attracting the same type of people that just want to take, but don't want to build because they're the counterfeit. So a lot of times, some of you may be new to the prayer line tonight, and I welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, the topic is abstinence doesn't mean deliverance, and we're talking about the consequences of not pulling sins out at the root. So what happens when we do something wrong? It is not anybody else's fault. So I'm going to go back to the scenario with a girl. She ran into her boyfriend, and so he invited her to dinner. She had a choice right there and then to say, you know, thank you so much. It's really good seeing you, but I don't want to go to dinner with you. Thank you for the invitation. And she could have went on about her business. But she didn't. The moment she came into agreement to go to dinner with him, was he responsible for what happened, or was she responsible? And she was responsible. So once everything happened, and now, you know, should she be mad at him, or should she be mad at herself? And the reason I'm pointing that out is a lot of times we get mad at people for the decisions that we make, when they don't make us make the decisions or the choices. So we need to pull some of these roots out so that we can make better decisions. We need to clear our minds from past hurts so that we can make better decisions. So as I go back to the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of heaviness, it works closely with the spirit of hopelessness. So have you ever felt hopeless? Have you ever been in a situation where you just felt so much despair? And I can only imagine how this girl felt after being, you know, celibate for a couple of months, 6 months. She hadn't had nothing to drink. She hadn't had sex. So now here comes this guy, and she go to dinner, and she had one little drink that fuzzed her mind, and it watered that seed that was lying dormant. See, because when you have sex with a person, a soul tie is formed. And when you have legal sex is when you're married to your husband, you're married to your wife, and the natural soul tie is formed. When you have sex outside of marriage, a soul tie is formed with the person that you're sleeping with. And if you're sleeping with a married man, you're sleeping with him and you're sleeping with his wife. Everybody you sleep with, y'all all sleeping with each other. It's a spiritual thing. But when you break up in a relationship, You should call back the pieces of your heart that you gave away, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And you should ask God to destroy the soul tie between you and that person. Now, before I go any further, all soul ties are not sexual soul ties. You can have an emotional soul tie. You can have a mental soul tie. Some people have grew up in homes where the mom or the dad, or sometimes both, have been very, very controlling. Or your mom has been very fearful, and you get ready to go to school, or you go into a party, or you go to work. Oh, don't forget to cross the street. Don't forget to look at the light. They're constantly telling you, look out for this, look out for that. Well, they really instill in fear. And so now you're fearful of every doggone thing that you do. You don't even want to go nowhere by yourself. That's a soul tie that was formed through fear and your mom or your dad's emotions, or if you're around a person that's controlling. So we need to learn how to break soul ties. Now, soul ties, remember when I said when I pulled up the root and it was so many roots? I wish I had a picture to put on the events page. But there were so many roots, and I said some of them was intertwined. So if you're sleeping with more than one person, or let's say in a period of 20 years you slept with maybe 10 or 5 people, all of those people, you never broke the soul tie. You never destroyed the emotional soul tie, the physical soul tie, or the mental soul tie. But when you break up with that person, and remember earlier I was saying, have you ever been at church and then you start thinking about that person, or you think about something you did with them? Why do you think that happens? It's because of the soul tie. It's because of the connection. If you're in a relationship now, whether you're married or not, sometimes a person can be on your heart. When they're going through something, you'll feel their hurt, you'll feel their pain, or you'll just feel like something is just not right. And even for intercessors can feel this too. But it's the soul tie. So just think for a moment. Are there any soul ties in your life that you know you need to break? Whether it was fornication, whether it was adultery, whether you were doing drugs with another person, that's another kind of soul tie. You know, whether it was sharing a pipe, whether it was sharing a bottle. Whatever it is, God is highlighting to you tonight. Take some time to really have a healthy confrontation and say, Lord, I'm ready to pull this up at the root. I don't want to just pull it up at the root. I want to take my sword, which is the word of God. And you want to cut that head off of that giant so that it cannot grow, so that it cannot come back to bother you or to entrap you. See, once we get on the right path and we start doing right and we say we're going to serve God, you know, let's repent. We just came off a 3-day revival, renewing our commitment to God. And it's like, you know, we pumped up, the word was good, and we going on, and then bam, here comes Satan with a distraction to try and back you up. Aren't you tired of being backed up? Aren't you tired of him telling you what you can't do? Even when you fall short of the glory of God, because we all do, get back up knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Repent. Forgive yourself, receive God's forgiveness, keep it moving. But pull that thing up at the root. Don't allow it to remain there. So I'm going back to the story with this woman. So she wakes up and, you know, she all wrapped up in a blanket of shame. But it's like, oh, don't go yet. You know, she's trying to tiptoe away because Satan's not finished yet. He just released another assignment against her. And here he comes with the spirit of perversion, which is the strong man for the spirit of sexual perversion, abortion, evil actions, broken spirits. Now, earlier when I was giving out the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of brokenness and broken heart, those were all of the roots. And I do have the scriptures, and I'm going to put them on the events page. But the spirit of perversion is a broken spirit and evil actions. Sometimes people may have an abortion or abortion, and the hurt, the shame, the humiliation, the guilt, it eats them up on the inside. So the spirit of perversion works closely with the spirit of heaviness, and because she can't handle that she had an abortion, then she starts having suicidal thoughts. But guess what? The dude that she just hooked back up with, that she had got away from, he used to have suicidal thoughts. And she never knew why she started having suicidal thoughts. So having sex with him and laying with him again, she opened herself up to be attacked by the enemy, where the evil actions came in, the filthy mind came in. She wasn't thinking impure thoughts. She was having pure thoughts. So we put on the whole armor of God, and the helmet of salvation is to protect our mind. But if we don't protect our mind and we don't put on that helmet, we'll think all kind of thoughts. And every negative thought that comes our way, it is not the enemy. If you can, for a moment, just go with me to Proverbs, second chapter in the 12th verse. And I hope this is helping someone tonight. We're talking about abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. So Proverbs, the second chapter in the 12th verse, it says, "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things." In Proverbs 23:33, "Thy eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things." So how many times have you been around a person where they spoke perverse things, or they spoke forward things? You know, they just cursed a lot, or they was just nasty, or they just said whatever it was that came out of their mouth to hurt somebody. So the spirit of perversion is also doctrinal error. It's the twisting of the word. It's pornography, fantasies, the video library in your mind. A lot of the attacks take place in your mind. In 2 Chronicles, the 10th chapter, it talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And for those that don't work with us with the book club, we are doing a study on the battlefield of the mind, and we are like growing in leaps and bounds with the spiritual warfare. But that is all I have to share with you for right now, and I will be following up with part two. But abstinence doesn't mean deliverance, and whatever you are abstaining from, don't let it lie dormant. Pull it up at the root and kill that thing in Jesus' name. So one of the reasons I felt led to share this is because a lot of us, we repeat those same cycles over and over. A lot of times people don't understand the spiritual warfare connected to behaviors that are often triggered by things, hurts and pains from the past. In the Word of God, it says, remember not the, in Isaiah 43:18-19, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, but behold the new thing that is springing forth. So, and then how many times have we heard the scripture, you know, you can't pour new wine in an old wineskin. So there's a reason that we need to take the time when we do get hurt. And all hurt is not because of a man or a woman or because of a relationship. Sometimes we get hurt because of our parents. Sometimes we get hurt because of our brothers and our sisters. But the bottom line is none of us are exempt from being hurt. No matter what your hurt is, no matter how bad it hurts, God wants to heal you tonight. Whatever deep-rooted pain that you have in your heart, I just want to encourage you to face it head on. And I know it's scary. I know it hurts. But when we allow things to remain there, especially lies from the enemy, he's very good with causing us to back up away from God's word, where we, you know, we waddle in self-pity and we have these pity parties and woe is me. Well, those days is over because God wants to do a new thing. Mm-hmm. So anybody on this line, if you've been struggling, you broke up with your boyfriend years ago, but you're still longing to be with him. Or you broke up with your girlfriend, but you're still longing to be with her. And some of you might have been married and you might have got divorced, or you might be married and you might be separated. You know, do you really love that person? Do you really want to get back with them? And if you do, what's stopping you from trying to reconcile? Could it be bitterness? Could it be resentment? Could it be fear? You'll never know if it's going to work, especially if you are married. You never know if it's going to work if you're going to operate out of fear. And you know, at some point, you're going to have to forgive him, he's going to have to forgive you, and you're both going to have to learn how to trust again. And if you commit your relationship to God, oh my God, I feel like this is for somebody. But if you commit your relationship to God and keep him in the center of it, God's going to work it all out. You know, I just feel led to go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter real quick, and then I'm going to wrap it up because it is 9:56, and I know people have to go to work. Thank you all for joining us. But 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And this word charity is talking about love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly or seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, and it doesn't think evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, a mature adult, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. In the last verse here it says, and now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. So love covers a multitude of sins. Love doesn't keep score of what somebody did. So if you don't get anything from this message tonight, love covers a multitude of sins. For those of you where abstinence doesn't mean deliverance is associated with unforgiveness in your heart towards someone, forgive that person. It's not about you and the person. It's about you and your relationship with God. God wants to heal you and allow you to move forward into the things that he's calling you to do. Yes, he is using you, but he wants to use you on a greater level. But you got to pull up that root of unforgiveness. So somebody, it could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be cigarettes. Maybe that's your struggle. Whatever your struggle is, it doesn't matter. But love covers a multitude of sins. And personally, I don't care what your struggle is. You could be actively participating in it right now. That ain't none of my business. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. And I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to ostracize you. I'm not here to reject you. I'm here to love on you. And God loves you so much. And he has already forgiven you. So the last thing I'm going to say is there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Forgive yourself. Receive God's forgiveness. Forgive whoever you need to forgive. And whatever hurt from your past, even if it's from the present, healthy confrontation. It's very important that you do follow those steps. When I pick up on part two, It's going to be abstinence doesn't mean deliverance and removing the draw. And I'll be talking about coming out of a sexual relationship or coming out of an addiction. And a lot of times when the scripture is going to be Proverbs 25:4, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. So when you think about the refiner and he's refining that gold or that silver, all of the impurities, they come up to the top, and they got this little metal thing, and they scoop the dross out, and they move all of the impurities out. So the purpose of sharing this message, abstinence doesn't mean deliverance. God wants to make you a vessel of honor, and he wants you to shine. He wants you to come forth as gold. He don't want you to hold on to those hurtful things from your past. And even if you're struggling with any of the things mentioned, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. God's love is unconditional. He just wants you to stop this cycle you've been on, this merry-go-round. Stop. It needs to stop because he wants you to be happy, and he has so much in store for you. So that's my message, and I'm going to pray real quick, and then we're going to open up the lines for comments and questions or encouraging words and prayer requests. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for this message that you gave me to share with your people. I thank you for being glorified. I thank you for the examples that were shared. I pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that for those who you were speaking to their hearts as I was speaking and the examples that was given, I thank you for showing them, strategically showing them how to effectively pull those root issues up and to deal with them once and for all. And even as they look at the painful hurts from their past and even evil associations or bad associations, people that they're no longer associated with, but the words, the sting from their words is still in their heart and it's preventing them from moving forward. I pull out those roots in their heart right now. Father, every fiery dart that was sent to destroy them, to kill their confidence, to lower their self-esteem, to make them feel unworthy. And I cast out that spirit of Belial right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I thank you that everybody on this line is worthy and that they are wanted, they are winners, and they are more than conquerors. So I give you all of the honor, I give you all of the glory, and I give you all of the praise. And I thank you for that person that has been dealing with a deep, deep shame and an excessive grieving process. I pray that you would heal, that you would deliver, and that you would set them free. And, Father, if they need to reach out to me and we could talk and pray and take them to the Word and just help them get through this, then I thank you for sending them in my direction, Lord. And I give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so praise the Lord. Thank you all for joining us. And we're going to open up the lines right now for comments and questions, if anyone has a question.
Part two, is that going to be next Thursday or when?
Oh, part two is going to be next Thursday. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Any comments? Did it help anybody? Did I bore anybody?
Hey, Stacy.
Hi. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
The part that, you know, that I really understood clearly about the, you know, about the verbal abuse and stuff, I really understand that, where you come from on that, because I was in a relationship with a lot of verbal abuse. Mm. And I didn't know that God was preparing me the whole time to come out of that and come to someone that is such a beautiful woman and a great child of God. God brought Christine in my life for a reason, and I'm so happy that he did.
Oh. And that is a wonderful example. But what did you do to uproot those negative words that were spoken against you, to you, from the person that was verbally abusing you? How did you handle that? Like, how did you get healed from that?
I just prayed and I just walked away.
Okay.
It was hard, but I did it. God had his hand on me the entire time, and he gave me the strength to just walk away.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much for sharing, and thank you for joining us tonight. Anyone else? If we don't have any more comments, then do we have any? I'm sorry, someone wants to say something? Okay, so if we don't have any comments, any prayer requests? Okay. So thank you all for joining us. And Walter, I'm going to pray for you like we always do for the truck drivers. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you this evening thanking you for all of those that have gathered on the prayer line tonight. Father, we thank you for supplying every need according to your riches and glory. Father, we thank you for Daryl that shared his testimony about being in a verbally abusive relationship and how you helped him to get away from it. Father, we thank you for blessing him with a godly woman that is helping him to grow in the word. And Father, we lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up all of the truck drivers on the highways and the byways and those that are parked for the night that are getting their rest. We thank you for covering them with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for moving by your Spirit. We thank you, Father, for being with them, blessing their families, protecting them from all harm and all danger. Father, I say a special prayer for everyone that's on this prayer line. I thank you for supplying every need according to your riches and glory. And I ask that you bless each home represented. Thank you for allowing us to come together tonight. Thank you for being with us as we go our separate ways. And we give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. And God bless you and have a blessed night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.